We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Leanne Donner, sitting in this hour for Celeste Quinn. And our topic today is puppy mills. September 19th was National Puppy Mill Awareness Day. And today we'll delve into this issue with Jordan Matchus, Illinois State Director of the Humane Society of the United States, who joined us by phone, and Mary Tiefenbrunn, Executive Director of the Champaign County Humane Society. First of all, in the interest of full disclosure, I will tell you that I'm sitting in today as a volunteer. In my professional life, I am an employee of the Humane Society. I am unapologetically anti-cruelty and anti-puppy mill. But I can also tell you that I did not ask to do this program because I am an employee of the Humane Society, but rather I am an employee of the Humane Society because I am a dog lover, a dog owner, and am active in the dog community here. And I would have asked to do this program regardless of my employment, so just to get that out there. So welcome, Jordan and Tief. Mary goes by Tief. Thank you for being with us today on the Afternoon Magazine.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
First, Jordan, if you would just tell us a little bit about how you became a professional in animal welfare.
Well, a couple of years ago, I started working on a bill to ban the use of gas chambers for cats and dogs. And before that, I've just always been working to foster and rescue dogs. So it's just a passion of mine, and I love animals. And I'm lucky enough to work for the Humane Society of the United States.
And Tief, how about you? How did you end up as a professional in animal welfare?
Well, the kind of a long story, but, you know, like Jordan, I've always loved animals. I rode horses as a teenager and maintained my love of animals throughout my life. And my career has gone through several changes, but after I'd been in Champaign-Urbana for a while, I was on the board of directors of the Champaign County Humane Society and also working as a volunteer and a founding board member of a small animal welfare group that focused on humane education. And when the position of executive director became available, it was a good fit for me, and I'm very happy to be there and very honored to be able to work on the behalf of animals.
And we probably should make it clear to listeners that the two organizations are actually separate, independent, not connected. And I think sometimes people think that the Champaign County Humane Society is funded by government organizations, and that's not true. It's a separate, independent nonprofit. And the Humane Society of the United States is likewise a separate nonprofit organization. Am I correct, Jordan?
That's correct.
Do you want to tell us just quickly what the Humane Society of the United States does?
Sure. The Humane Society of the United States is a large organization. We have 448,000 supporters just in Illinois, and our goal is to combat cruelty and love our animals. And we work on everything, every kind of issue you can imagine that affect animals, but one of the focuses right now is puppy mills and pet stores and how that's affecting the community and buyers and shelters and all the other organizations involved.
And Tief, do you want to talk about what the Humane Society, the Champaign County Humane Society, does?
Sure. The Humane Society, our founding mission was to prevent animal cruelty and promote animal welfare and educate the public about humane treatment and humane care of animals. We primarily live out our mission by running an animal shelter in Urbana, and our focus is entirely companion animals. We don't get involved in other animal welfare issues, but we provide shelter for homeless animals, dogs, cats, and other small mammals, and we try to find new homes for them, and we have an outreach and education program, and we also participate with other animal groups in the community to do low-cost spay and neuters.
And so let's talk about what is a puppy mill. I think that we all have an idea of what we've seen on TV when there have been police raids shutting down puppy mills. So if either of you want to jump in and talk about the definition of, or as you see it, of puppy mill.
Well, sure, I'll jump in. A puppy mill, there's a couple of things that we would consider a puppy mill. the primary one is that the person is focusing on the quantity rather than quality. So they want to get a lot of dogs out, and they're not doing it for the interest of the breed. Also, the dogs are living in cages or pens continuously for their up, you know, for breeding females. They could live in the cages for up to 20 years, never going outside, never going for walks. And then some of the other things that make up a puppy mill are poor sanitation, poor veterinary care, and that kind of stuff. So it's really a bad breeding situation where they're more interested in making lots of puppies than in the quality of the animals.
And I should say that in our community, we're fortunate to have a number of very fine, reputable breeders who breed specific breeds for the love of the animal. They treat their dogs more than humanely. I would say that in some cases they're quite pampered. They produce champion title winning dogs, and that's not what we're talking about today. Today we are talking about situations where dogs are kept in conditions that are not what most of us think we would want for our companion animals. We invite you to join the conversation. The number to call is 333-9455 or 800-222-9455 if you'd like to talk today with us about puppy mills. So the problems with puppy mills, they don't get exercise. What else? They don't get socialized. The animals don't get socialized the way.
Right. One of the things that, you know, to put this kind of in perspective about, you know, to explain a little bit of why we find it so objectionable, dogs have been bred for hundreds, perhaps thousands of years, specifically to bond with humans. We've selected, you know, as dogs have been bred, we've selected them to have a strong bond with humans. And raising them and having them live, especially the breeding dogs that live their entire lives in puppy mill conditions, is so, you know, antithetical with what we've bred them to be. We've bred them to be human companions, and then we keep them in these facilities in very, very small cages where they don't get exercise, they don't have human contact, they don't form any bonds. So in addition to all the just the physical things, the lack of veterinary care, the lack of exercise, and the health problems, this is not how man's best friend should be living. We feel that it's cruel and inhumane to keep dogs in that way.
And am I right that puppies, if they are not socialized appropriately in their early weeks and months of life, they find it harder to form that bond with humans when they are purchased or even adopted? There are some critical
right.
times in a puppy's life when they need interaction
right.
with other people, with other dogs.
Right. If they're going to be well-adjusted dogs when they become a member of a human family, there's definitely, that we've learned, there's definitely things that need to happen at particular times in their younger months and years to make sure that they are well-adjusted. So that is really important. Plus, there's the health issues. If you don't have a healthy mom, or she's, you know, and her nutritional stores are not good, she's not able to produce healthy puppies. So there's a lot of actual physical health issues that can arise.
We have a call on a cell phone. Hi, you have a comment or a question about puppy mills?
Right. I'm just trying to get my mind wrapped around how pervasive this problem is. For example, could you tell me what percentage of puppies that are bought and sold are actually from puppy mills? And, you know, just get some numbers. I don't really know a lot about this phenomenon. I'd just like to hear a little bit more. And I'll hang up and listen, okay?
That's a great question. Jordan, would you like to respond?
Sure. And, you know, we don't have the greatest statistics on this because in a lot of states, breeders aren't even licensed. In Illinois, they are licensed. But it's hard to separate out who's a responsible breeder and who's not. I would say that when you go to a pet store and buy a puppy from a pet store, the vast majority are coming from a puppy mill. In terms of just day-to-day breeders, you know, what we would say is there's great breeders and there's bad breeders. And we have a breeder buying guide on our website, but you really want to look for good breeders. So if you're looking to buy a dog, you know, of course, go look at the shelter, and if you do want to buy a dog, at least go and get it from a responsible breeder.
Great, thank you. So there are, it's hard to track who you'd consider or what institution you would consider a puppy mill because it's somewhat under the radar.
Well, I think that's right, and I think that's why a lot of this does fall on the consumer. And you should go, and if you're interested in buying a dog, if they won't let you see where the dogs are housed, don't buy a dog from them. If you go and you see that there's just hundreds of dogs in cages, don't think you're saving a dog because you're just giving them money. Go away and call the authorities, call the Humane Society of the United States. But this is really up to the buyers and up to the consumers to make sure they're making an informed decision.
We have a caller on line 3 from Urbana. Hi, you have a question or a comment about puppy mills?
Hi, yes, I do, and I think it might have been answered just a minute ago. I went into a local puppy store and was looking at different breeds of dogs, and they showed me the papers for 3 of them, and they're all different kinds of dogs. They all came from the same place in Missouri. It made me kind of suspicious.
So,
suspicious?
I would say that you're right to be suspicious. One of the things that is recommended when you're looking for a dog of a specific breed is if that breeder is breeding more than one or two breeds of dogs, they are probably not a good breeder in that they're not able to do the right amount of research and the right amount of screening for genetics and such. You really want to get, if you're going to buy a purebred dog, I would recommend that you go to a breeder who only breeds that one breed, and that way you know that they are that their whole mission is to make sure that they are breeding really good golden retrievers and that they're really doing their homework. And it's a good sign that somebody is not up to snuff if they're breeding multiple breeds of dogs. And definitely, you know, puppy stores, in order to maintain an inventory at a puppy store, they have to be buying massive quantities of dogs. And that's where you get into what Jordan said earlier. They have to buy from breeding facilities that are focused on producing quantity rather than quality.
And is that where the broker comes in?
Right. That's a whole other thing that people are usually, you know, that is not aware of. But if you look at the paperwork at a puppy store, the law requires that the papers show both the breeder's name and address and anyone who also had possession of that puppy from the time it left its place of origin. So if you see on paperwork two different names, if you see the name of perhaps a kennel business might be listed, and then you might also see a breeder's name, that's an indication that that puppy went already through somebody else before it arrived at that store. So it's been at a breeding facility, then it's gone to a broker. Now, good, reputable breeders will not sell their puppies to a broker. Brokers strictly exist to sell puppies to puppy stores. Am I right, Jordan?
That's correct. And a lot of the breeders who belong to kennel clubs, it's actually against their bylaws to sell to pet stores. So a responsible breeder will not be selling to a pet store.
We have a call on line 1 from Urbana. Hi, you'd like to make a comment or you have a question about puppy mills?
Yes, well, not just puppy mills in particular. It seems to me I've heard of kitty mills, too, and for all I know, there are ferret mills and so on and so forth. Is this phenomenon just strictly restricted to dogs, or is it other domestic animals? Thank you.
A very good question. Jordan, would you like to address that? Jordan?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, I think we've heard of a few cases of some cat operations, but it's nothing like we've seen with puppy mills. There's just nothing that resembles it. Cat breeders, again, there's wonderful cat breeders and there's not such good cat breeders, but by and large, we're seeing this huge problem with puppies, and that's why we're focusing a lot of our attention on puppies and dogs.
Today's program is about puppy mills. I'm Leanne Donner, sitting in for Celeste Quinn, and we're talking about puppy mills with Jordan Matches, Illinois State Director of the Humane Society of the United States, and Mary Tiefenbrunn, Executive Director of the Champaign County Humane Society. We invite you to join in the conversation at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. So when someone is making a choice to buy a registered purebred dog, in addition to checking out the breeder, do they also need to make sure that the registration is an AKC registration?
You know, I think there's lots of different registrations, and those are fine if you're interested in that. I think some of the more important things are that if you're going to go to a breeder, you should make sure you see where the dogs are housed, that you meet the mom and the dad, and if you're going to a responsible breeder, they're going to investigate you as much as you investigate them, because they want to know that their puppies are going to a good home. So I'd really stress that you should see where the dog lives. You know it's a questionable breeder when they want to meet you at a parking lot at, say, you know, a superstore. That's when they don't want you to see their facility. So if you're going to buy from a breeder, go to their house, go to their facility, and check everything out.
And another thing that a reputable breeder will do is they will always take the dog back at any point in the dog's life. They're taking responsibility for the dogs they've brought into the world, and they'll always they'll tell somebody that they adopt the dog too, that, you know, if something changes in your life and you can no longer care for this dog, we will take that dog back. And I think that's, you know, being the director of a humane society where we end up with homeless animals, that's, you know, very important to us, is that breeders who are producing dogs are making sure that they are actually taking responsible for the lifetime of that animal, and that shows that they care and that they will take responsibility no matter what happens down the road.
One of the problems that we sometimes hear about with regard to puppies from puppy stores is a problem with the health of the dog. They run into considerable veterinary trips and expense. Why is that such a problem, and are puppy stores, do they realize they're selling dogs, do you think, that are less than healthy? I guess some of them now are offering veterinary services with their package, their puppy packages.
Jordan, do you want to answer? Or?
Sure. You know, I think that we're seeing a lot of health problems because, again, when we're talking about puppy mills, we're talking about poorly bred dogs. They're coming out with a lot of basic conditions. One of the things that we're seeing more frequently is especially dogs that come from the Internet, and we recommend you never buy a dog over the Internet. They're literally dying within a few days because they're so sick. But, again, you're dealing with medical problems because these are poorly bred dogs. And I think that's a real, you know, one of the things we have to talk about is obviously these animals are suffering, the breeding mothers who spend their lives in cages, but you also have to think about the consumers who either are spending a lot of money on these dogs as soon as they get them, these young puppies, or in some cases the puppies won't make it and after just a few days or weeks pass away, and that's an enormous toll on the consumer. On the other hand, sometimes the consumer will just relinquish the dogs to the shelter or the animal control, and then you're placing a burden on the community, which is equally as bad.
I think something else that we're seeing now in puppy stores are not just purebred dogs, but designer breeds that are, or they call them hybrids, I think.
Right.
But basically they're mixed breeds of two different desirable breeds. I mean, the puppy mill aspect aside, mm-hmm. because that's, you know, certainly a tragedy that mothers suffer the way they do. But what about these interesting crossbreeds that are that fit nicely in pocketbooks and, you know, and fly on planes in a carry-on?
Well, it's interesting to those of us that have been trying to get people to adopt mixed bred dogs for years, that now if you breed two dogs and then you make up a name for it, then it's actually a hybrid, and you charge $1,000 for that dog. They basically, you know, in my opinion, are basically just mixed breed dogs, and it's all sort of a marketing ploy to get people to buy them. Right now, small dogs are very popular. I don't know if it's because, you know, of the sort of
Paris Hilton
trend. You know, I cringe at sort of the idea of displaying dogs as part of your fashion, you know, putting them in your pocketbook and walking down the runway, you know, because they are animals and they, you know, when you obtain one, you should be aware of all the care that animal is going to need. And they're not just jewelry or accessories, which are things that we discard. And we, you know, discarding animals, you know, shouldn't be an option. So when you go to obtain one, you should be looking at it as a commitment for the life of that animal and all that goes with that, and providing for that animal's needs. They're not jewelry.
How, Jordan, does Illinois measure up against other states? Is the Midwest particularly prone to having puppy mills, or is it pervasive throughout the United States?
Well, it's pervasive throughout, but certainly one of the major states that plays a role in the puppy mill industry is Iowa and especially Missouri. But Illinois also has a number of puppy mills. And we should mention, not all of these are gigantic. A puppy mill can be, we can have bad breeders that only have 10 or 15 dogs. And then there's puppy mills where there can be, up to 1,000 or more dogs that are equally as bad. But certainly Missouri's a problem, and, we need to fix our problem here at home in Illinois, and then hopefully the rest of the states will follow as well.
And am I right that one of the problems is that we think of puppy mills as being illegal, but in reality, in terms of when you define it as the humane treatment of the dog, puppy mills, as we define it, are not illegal?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Under current Illinois law, there's no definition of puppy mills, but there's standards in place, such as they have to provide adequate ventilation, but we don't talk about the ventilation. We talk about there has to be adequate size for them to turn around, but we don't say what that size is. And so we have all these kind of vague terms that are so unenforceable. And that's what we're trying to do in the next year, is to put forth new legislation that will, put these bad breeders out of business or make them come into standards. But the dogs need to be able to walk around. They need to be not on caged, on wire flooring. And we need to put some standards in place.
We have a call on I'm mistaken. So you mean to tell me that it's actually legal for a dog to be kept for its entire life in an area that is only large enough for it to stand up and turn around?
Not only that, but it can stand on wire flooring its entire life. Illinois law, while we do license dog breeders, and that's a good step that some other states don't do, we have very weak laws when it comes to enforcement in terms of ventilation, in terms of what proper care is. And all we want for the new law to say is just what the basic standards should be, how the kennel should be cleaned, how large it should be, and that, they should have access to outdoor space so that they don't live in a tiny cage their entire life.
And so where are we with that in terms of I understand there's going to be a meeting coming up, a task force.
Well, that's right. This last year we worked on some legislation, and we are going to continue this summer. There's a joint task force on breeders and pet stores, and the Illinois community is really getting together, the breeders, the pet stores, the humane societies, the rescue groups, and we're trying to craft some legislation that will address this subject.
But it will not make it difficult to be a responsible breeder in the state of Illinois.
No, and already in Illinois, you only need a license if you have six or more breeding females. And, that's a large number in and of itself. But the rest of the legislation will really not affect a responsible breeder. We're not talking about providing, a number of squeaky toys. We're talking about, cage size. We're talking about ventilation. We're talking about basic standards that will really help the community, because breeders will be providing better animals to consumers.
If someone is, they find a puppy in a puppy store and they are assured that it did not come from a puppy mill, how can they investigate to verify that it, in fact, is not a puppy mill puppy?
Well, I think the easiest way with the advent of all of this technology is to jump online and do a search. Most likely, the breeder will not be in Illinois. If the breeder's nearby and you live near Missouri or wherever the dog is coming from, you could go and visit it. But certainly, we'd recommend that you do some research before you buy the dog. And it's not just to, you really have to make an informed decision, because if it is coming from a bad breeder, this can affect you financially. The cost of the dog isn't just the final cost. You also have the veterinary bills to deal with the bad breeding.
Yes, and I would recommend that, if you're shopping at a puppy store, regardless of what the salespeople are, the reassurances they give you, if you're serious about making a purchase, they by law have to show you the name of the breeder. They have to tell you that. And so you can go home and do some research and be wary, because I think now a lot of large-scale breeding facilities do have websites that look very slick, and so you sometimes have to dig around. But this sort of brings us back around to the point that if a dog has been sold to a pet store, it's extremely likely that the dog did come from a puppy mill, because responsible breeders don't supply pet stores with their dogs. So you really have to be careful, and like Jordan said earlier, any reputable breeder is going to let you actually visit their facility and meet the dog's parents, and that's what you want to do. You want to know, especially if you're paying a high price for the dog, you want to know that the mom and dad have good temperament, and that the dogs were raised in a setting that shows that their health was looked after and their socialization was looked after as well.
You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine. I'm Leanne Donner, sitting in for Celeste Quinn, and we're talking today about puppy mills with Jordan Matches, Illinois State Director of the Humane Society of the United States, and Mary Tiefenbrunn, Executive Director of the Champaign County Humane Society. We would love for you to call and join in on the conversation. The number to call is 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. So what can the average person do? I think a lot of people have not realized what a real issue puppy mills are. You know, you see them on the news, and when you see them on the news, that's because the police have come and shut them down and taken the dogs away. You just don't realize how many of them there are. So if it's a concern, how should the average citizen address it?
Well, I think there's a number of ways. If you're interested in getting a dog, you should first consider rescuing a dog from either a shelter, or we should say there's a ton of purebred rescue groups. So if you're really interested in a purebred dog, there's rescue groups that have tons of dogs. If you're interested in getting more involved with the stopping the puppy mill problem, I would, you know, most of this legislation is happening at the local level, so I'd talk to your state representative and your state senator and get active. And go visit them and say, what do I need to do to help shut down puppy mills in Illinois?
Are there a lot of puppy stores in Illinois, retail outlets selling puppies?
I'm sure there's tons of them.
I know here, you know, we think of pet stores as the big pet stores here, you know, PetSmart and Prairie Land, who absolutely do not sell puppies. And in fact, they often promote the adoption of animals from local humane societies and shelters and rescues. And we applaud them for that. But you used to see more, I think maybe there was a time when puppy stores were more visible than they are today. Is that because people are becoming aware that puppies and puppy stores come from puppy mills?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure nationally. I really don't know. I know that there are still some big chains. I think Petland is one of the big chains that still sells dogs in the store. And I know and locally here we now have two small boutique shops selling puppies and particularly a lot of the small dogs.
You know, the one thing I would add just to the idea, if you do go into a pet store, one of the things that I think these pet stores do kind of, the message gets across is that you're almost rescuing a dog from these stores. Sometimes, you know, you go in and you have the best of intentions and you say, this dog needs to come home with me. I'm not going to let it go back to the puppy mill. I don't want it in this pet store. But really what you're doing when you're buying a dog from a pet store is you're just opening up more space for another puppy to be put in, and you're still giving money to a puppy mill. So it's not stopping the problem. It's just adding on to the problem.
That's a good point.
Right.
And at the Champaign County Humane Society, we frequently see some purebred dogs come through in addition to mixed breeds. It's not a situation that every dog that comes into a shelter is a mutt, although I have a mutt, and I love my mutt.
Right. Yeah, we do get a wide variety of dogs. And, you know, in all honesty, if you're looking for a specific purebred dog, there's no way of knowing whether we're going to, you know, have one available at any given time or whether you're going to wait months and months. We do have a Match-A-Pet program, so that if you'd like a particular type of dog and you'd like them to, you know, come through from an animal shelter, we will take your information and contact you if that breed of dog comes in, and then you can apply. So we do have that Match-A-Pet program, but we do ask you to renew your submission to the program once a month, because a lot of times people do find a dog from another rescue group or something, and so we do kind of cull our files on a monthly basis. But that's an option, or also checking our website and coming through. It's totally unpredictable what we're going to have, but we do see purebreds and we do see mixed breeds, and we are getting quite a few small dogs. In recent months, I've been seeing the number of small dogs increase at the shelter, so it's no longer that true that we like never have small dogs. We're finding that we have quite a few, and we also, you know, have received, had dogs surrendered to us that did come from puppy stores. So we've had dogs surrendered that were purchased at a puppy store only weeks ahead of time, but now the person is moving and they don't want to bring the dog with them. So screening of adopters is another issue that we can talk about, in terms of, I'm not sure that puppy stores are as careful in placing the puppies as a breeder would be, or even as an animal shelter or rescue group would be.
Adopting a dog from a shelter is like adopting a child.
Not quite.
But you get checked out, and that's a good thing. And if you rent, it's confirmed that the landlord allows the dog. And at the Champaign County Humane Society, our adoption staff tries to make sure that people who are allowed to adopt are going to be responsible pet owners.
Right, and that they understand the commitment involved and the length of time. And I worry that some of the pet stores that I've seen, these boutique stores, seem to get people in, and they make almost impulse purchases for puppies. And really, a puppy is going to be around for 12 to 15 years, and your life's going to change. And are you going to be able to be committed to that puppy throughout the rest of its life?
We have a call on line 4 from Madison County. You have a question or a comment about puppy mills? Hello?
Is that me?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, okay.
Welcome.
From what I'm hearing, the folks say not to buy from a pet store because most of them are from puppy mills, and buy from somebody who's reputable. But there's not that many people, you know, that are doing a smaller scale breeding. So where are people supposed to get their dogs if they're not supposed to go to the pet store? And I know the Humane Society too, but sometimes it's hard to tell what mix of dog it is, and if you have to, you know, have a certain kind of hair coat or size or temperament, you know, then you might not be able to find that reliably in a mixed breed dog. So I was just wondering, you know, where are you supposed to get the dogs if you can't go to a pet store?
That's a good question.
Well, there, as Jordan mentioned earlier, there are breed rescue groups around the United States for virtually every breed of dog. Then that's a breed rescue group is a group that's it's usually a nonprofit organization, and their mission in life is to provide homes and find new homes for homeless dogs of a particular breed. So usually these people are fans of that breed. They know that breed very, very well, and what the requirements are to raise that type of dog. And they will even sometimes, most of them that I'm familiar with, will even help with transport if it's a long distance thing. If you're looking for a particular breed and there are no Illinois breed rescue groups that focus on that breed, there's probably one in Indiana or Tennessee or somewhere. And if you want to even do a long distance adoption, a lot of them will help you arrange for transportation. So that's my first recommendation outside of animal shelters, is breed rescue. And you can do Google searches and go to petfinder.com and get hooked up that way. And then in terms of looking for a local breeder who breeds the type of dog you're interested in, most areas have a kennel club, AKC Kennel Club, or a really good dog training club. And they will have links to breeders in the community, and you can sort of work at it through there. AKC Kennel Clubs tend to have a list of all the breeders in their area that and what type of dogs that they work on. Am I leaving anything out, Jordan?
No, I think that's right. I mean, just for example, I co-run Illinois English Bulldog Rescue, so we're dedicated just to English Bulldogs. And I think if you go on Pet Finder, what the caller is asking about, you can type in what kind of size you want, whether you're male or female, the age. So Pet Finder is a great resource if you're looking for a particular dog or a particular size. And you know, in terms of small breeders, a lot of the breeders in Illinois do only have a few breeding females, and responsible breeders do it for the love of the breeds. So they're not breeding, you know, hundreds of dogs a year. They're breeding maybe just a couple of litters at most a year because they love the animals, they want to spend time with the puppies. And it takes a lot of time for a responsible breeder to place a dog because they do an interview process just like a shelter because they want to make sure their dogs go to a good home.
We have a caller on line one from Champaign. You have a question or a comment about puppy mills?
Yes, I had a couple of comments. The one is that any responsible breeder, especially any longtime breeder of a particular breed, will belong to their national breed club. And all national breed clubs, without exception, have codes of ethics which exclude the possibility of that breeder selling to a broker or to a pet store or, in fact, puppies in any quantity to people. And so a responsible breeder will always have signed that code of ethics and would be ousted from their club if they did were caught selling to a broker or a pet store.
Right,
any other comment I wanted to make is on the designer breeds or the hybrid mixes. A lot of people buy them thinking that they either won't have the health problems that either parent breed may have had, or that they may have things like the hypoallergenic quality of a poodle, for instance, or something like that. So they get these dogs thinking that that's going to be the case, and it often is not. I think our shelter has taken in a lot of golden doodles because the people paid an enormous sum of money for these basically mixed breed dogs, only to find out that they didn't have the quality of the poodle, they had the quality of the golden, and were not hypoallergenic after all.
Thank you. And we have a caller on line two from Urbana.
I just had one more comment. I know you're probably getting close to running out of time, and you actually covered quite a bit of the things I was thinking of just in the last 2 minutes about going to petfinder.com, that there's really no reason to even question about going, like, is a breeder good or bad? It does, you know, go to your shelters, go to your breed rescues. You can get any sort of dog that you want, you know, any puppy, any big dog, little dog, whatever breed you want. It's all available, and they're all homeless. So there's absolutely no reason to even think about going to a breeder, and especially not to go to a pet store. And I think, you know, the fact that now Champaign has two puppy stores is what's, I think, really a heartbreaking situation for our community, that people are going in and listening to, you know, the really, I'm incredibly slick salespeople telling you that, oh, I got my dog from a, I actually heard this said that, she got her dog from a puppy mill, was rescued from a puppy mill, and she would never sell dogs that came from puppy mills. And I knew for certain that they were selling puppy mill dogs. So, you know, don't fall for it. These people are very good at what they do. And, you know, if you can't stand it, just don't walk into it. And if you want a puppy, go to the shelter, go to the rescues.
Yeah, the caller makes a couple of good points, and one is that that there are puppies available both at rescue groups and at animal shelters. We don't only receive older dogs. We do receive litters of puppies, and as do rescue groups. You might be surprised, and maybe you'll have to wait if you really, really want a puppy of a specific breed. You might not find that immediately, but puppies do become available at rescues. And the other point that she makes is that that salespeople can be very slick, and you know, we found that they kind of are expecting people to ask questions about puppy mills, and they're prepared for it, and they try to deflect, and they try to give answers that you know, get you to believe that there's no way that the dog has come from a puppy mill. But then if you look at that breeder's name and then go online and find out that they're a Class A USDA breeder, and that they've, you know, been selling puppies all over the country, then you kind of know.
We have a caller on line three from Champaign.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. You've left out one place to look for dogs, and that is the classified section in the newspapers. You can usually pretty well check down what those people are when they put an ad in. And some of them are nice and some of them aren't. But it's besides the shelter and besides the other very good places that you can go to, newspapers do serve some purpose.
Thank you. That's a good point.
Okay.
Thank you. So we're talking about puppy mills today with Jordan Matias, he's the Illinois State Director of the Humane Society of the United States, and Mary Tiefenbrunn, the Executive Director of the Champaign County Humane Society. You can still get in on the conversation. The number to call is 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455.
Right, and one of the things to, you know, about getting a dog from the newspaper is that's basically another way for you to potentially hook up with a breeder. As one of the previous callers mentioned, the National Breed Club, and I think that's, she made an excellent point that actually looking not just for your local kennel club, but actually looking for a National Breed Club if you really, really want to get a purebred dog. And like she said, they have codes of ethics, and if you get referred to a breeder from there, you might be in good shape. But whether you're getting referred to a breeder from a kennel club or you're finding a breeder's ad in the newspaper, it's still buyer beware, and you still want to do your homework and look at all the things that Jordan and I already talked about, and making sure that the breeder is a good breeder who's in the business for the right reason and is interested in in developing the breed and raising dogs in the right way.
Again, the number to call, 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. We're talking today about puppy mills, something that I think most of us, very few people would say they're pro-puppy mill, although the people who run puppy mills would not call it that. They might call it a large-scale breeding facility. If you have an opinion about puppy mills or something that has been said today, sparks your interest and you'd like to make a comment. We have time for a couple more calls at 333-9455. And we have a caller on line one from Savoy.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that a reputable breeder also will not use like a dog with hip dysplasia or with another genetic defect that is common for the breed that they're breeding. They'll choose dogs that they'll only have dogs that have that are free of those diseases. And I've seen a lot of people say that they got their dogs from a really good breeder, but that the mother had this, you know, the eyelids turning under or hip dysplasia, and they saw the mother, but they called the breeder a reputable breeder, but they really weren't. A really reputable breeder won't breed those dogs because they want, again, they're in for it. They're in to improve the breed, not to destroy it, and actually reproducing those dogs that have those diseases will actually destroy the breed very quickly.
Thank you. That's a good point. Am I right that a reputable breeder will have a lot of testing done on their breeding dogs to ensure that they're not continuing hip dysplasia and those kinds of defects that are becoming prevalent in some breeds?
Right. I'm not an expert on breeding, and I'm not a geneticist, so I don't want to misspeak. But it's my understanding that that good breeders will – there are certain tests that they can get. There are tests. There's ratings for hips and hip dysplasia, and there are other things they can do to test before they breed. And they can also, if they've owned the dog
over
the course of its life, they know whether it's has certain health defects, and they have records, and you know, going back generations, and they're very interested in making sure that they're breeding healthy dogs with not just physical health but also temperament.
And these tests happen at certain points in a dog's life because it has to be a certain age before it can
certain
be,
things don't show up until
they're adult or at a certain point. We're talking today about puppy mills, and we do have time maybe for one more call at 333-9455 or 222-9455. Jordan, before we wrap things up, is there anything that we didn't get to that you would like to talk about?
I think we've made a lot of good points, and I just stress again that this is a big decision. I think people get caught up when they go to even a shelter or a pet store breeder, and this is a dog or a cat or whatever you're going to get that's going to be with you for a long time. So take a few minutes, take a couple days, and really do your research. If you don't want to support puppy mills, make sure you know where the dog is being bred, the conditions it's being bred in, and be a responsible buyer, a responsible rescuer.
Mary, Tief, is there anything that you would like to say before we close?
Well, I would like to, you know, reiterate what one of the callers said and remind people that that really adoption is the way to go. We have millions of animals in our country that don't find homes, unfortunately. So we really encourage adoption. And I thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you both for being here. That's all the time we have. Thanks very much to Jordan Machis from the Humane Society of the United States and Mary Tiefenbrum, an executive director from the Champaign County Humane Society.